Today we are pleased to have a guest speaker. His name is Jonathan Trask. His wife's name is Sarah. If you shorten that out, that's John and Sarah. Don't we have another couple here named John and Sarah? So we have Jonathan and Sarah Trask. Jonathan has been a youth pastor. He lived on the mountain, and he and my kids knew each other from school. And he grew up to become a youth pastor, then a ministry director, program director at Alpine Camp, then at Thousand Pines Camp. And then he was called away to The Refuge, which is a Calvary Chapel church in Huntington Beach. Now, that's a challenge, huh? And he is the family ministry director for The Refuge Church in Huntington Beach. And he has a place up here, so he comes up once in a while on the weekends. And we just ask him if he'd come and just share with us. So you've got as long as you need, Jonathan. Let's give Jonathan some welcome. All right, God bless you, buddy.
Is this... Hey, I'm on.
Hi,
okay. Honestly, when Mike said you have as long as you need, how many your hearts dropped and you're like, oh no. Guest speaker, new guy in our church. He doesn't know the order. He doesn't know the flow. He's going to go for like an hour and a half. Is that all right? Static. I hear it. Here we go. That did not work. That did not work. Here. Wait, there it is. Because when all else fails, you just unplug it and plug it back in. So, yeah, it works. Hey, this morning, just to give you a heads up, if you want to follow along in your Bibles today, we're going to be in Acts chapter 2, verse 41 through 45. And then at the end of service, I'm going to go over Ephesians chapter 4,1 through 6. So not going to start off with that just yet, but just so that you know those two, you can mark those two places in your Bible. I want to start with a word of prayer as we get started this morning. Father, I thank you for today. Lord, as your word says, you are the source of life. You are the source of all that is good, that is right, that is holy, that is wonderful, and it is only to you that we look to, Father. Pray today, just as we take a few minutes and just reflect upon the importance of what community is, that you just be in our minds and be in our hearts. In your name, amen. All right. Well, Mike kind of already gave me a little bit of an introduction. My name's Jonathan. I have a wife and I have two wonderful children, a boy and a girl. I'm the family ministry director down at Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach, Refuge down there. And when Mike kind of started this morning, he went around and he said, how many people with a Calvary Chapel background, everybody raised their hand, and then like a Baptist background, Lutheran background, Catholic background. As I look around this church and I'm looking on the pews down here, and I'm like, well, there's the Calvary Dove. And then I'm looking back here, I'm like, well, there's the purple, there's the Lutheran up there. There's the Catholic, stained glass windows in the back, right? And how many have Baptist background? Right, and there's all the Baptists, right? So we're all in the right place. In my experience in ministry has been that really, some of us grow up in one doctrine, we all grow up in the same doctrine, hopefully. We grow up in one kind of wing, one kind of faith, but it really over time, when you get to taste and experience different expressions of different communities and different people, it kind of helps you refine a little bit as to who the Lord really is and how he's working. You know, we're not all in one club or another, and that's why I love the teaching this morning with the kids. We come from different backgrounds, but we're all one. We're all one in Christ, and that's what we're going to be talking about today. As I think of the time in ministry, and Mike kind of gave me, laid it out for you, I headed up some programs over at Thousand Pines Camp at Alpine. I was a part of Crestline First Baptist Church as youth ministers down there, me and my wife. Me and Sarah attended Calvary Chapel Bible College. Back in the day, I also attended a church, Community Baptist Church on the other side of Lake Arrowhead, way back in the day. Ron Merrill, Dan Russell, if you guys know those names, and all of those ministry experiences have been good in many respects, and some of them have been struggling in different ways. Some of my favorite memories of being in ministry have been late nights with youth. When me and my wife first started being the youth ministers down at Crestline First Baptist, she didn't want to do it at first. Youth were kind of scary, and I'm sorry I throw that out there. But over time, we learned to love it, and we learned that at first, it's hard to kind of enter in and say, okay, this is new reality, teenagers in our house, we have a young kid, we're not really sure how it's going to, but over time, you start to build relationships, and you start to see that, you know, there are a lot of kids on this mountain that come from an incredibly broken background, an incredibly broken situation, and you get those moments that these kids willingly just knock on your back door because they have nowhere else to go, or nobody's celebrating their birthday. Or we had a kid at the time whose father went to jail and left him $50 on his bed and said, I'll be back in 30 days. I got to do some time, right? And then when that kid knocks on your door, you know, it's like, wow, this is why we do what we do, right? And in church and in ministry, those moments, those happen a lot more often than I think some of us are really aware of, right? And they happen in each and every single one of our lives day to day. And we don't hear, which I think it's so beautiful why we get to have a little bit of time this morning to hear about what's God doing in your life. Those things happen. I remember some of the wonderful times at Alpine with the children's programs that we would do. 200 kids coming up to the chapel, big old band, snowstorm, staff shoveling out this big old hill that leads up to the chapel. If you've ever been over there and you've looked at it, just working as hard as they possibly can just to put on the weekend of ministry for the kids. And as that ministry weekend is coming up and we have all these young adult staff who have all these, like, you know, kind of hardened minds and tough, rugged skin, and they get into a chapel and there's like 200 kids in there like praising Jesus, all of a sudden they become marshmallows and they just want to like hug all these kids and they want to be around them. Working on creative projects, because if you've ever been a part of a church for a period of time recently, you know that VBS programs and creativity, creative expression is very much a part of church. Late nights, hard work, and moments of understanding that bring about deep change in people's lives. If I had to boil down my favorite moments in ministry in all of my time, has been the moments that bring deep understanding that changes lives in the minds and the hearts of the people and the families and in the communities. But then there's also those least favorite moments. And if you've been a believer, you know that, you know, we walk through this life, we walk through each other, and nobody's perfect. Not one person is perfect. And there was not a better year to represent that than 2020. Nobody did that perfect. And as a minister, down in the middle of an extremely busy area in Orange County, within the hub of all different types of churches, every church is doing their own thing, we saw division in so many different ways that was just so heartbreaking. And at that same time, amongst that division and trying to see, okay, exactly how do we play this out? Do we meet? Do we not meet? Do we wear masks? Do we take masks down? Guess what? There's political riots going on. There's personal positions on things. There's deep emotional stories. And then to cap it all off, it's an election year, so that just made it awesome. So from a ministry standpoint, walking through that, some of the least favorite moments in ministry for me would have to be the ones where I see people break fellowship, break community over things as simple as a piece of paper over your face, right? Or they break fellowship, they break community over a certain political persuasion that they have, or break fellowship or break community, and just not necessarily during 2020, but over my time in ministry, over simple things like the color of a room, or maybe a style of a song that's played up front, and all of a sudden they don't want to be a part of a community. Those are the worst moments that I've ever experienced in ministry, and I hate those moments. And I think that as believers, as we walk through this life, because it's not just a minister's job or a pastor's job to do ministry, it's each and every single one of our jobs to do ministry. And we've all had a walk with Jesus. We've all had an individual walk with Jesus. How do we do this right? Well, I would say this. There are two things that I think are the most critical, foundational, and you absolutely cannot forget these things when it comes to church, when it comes to community, when it comes to faith. two things are very simple. It's this. Finding a group of people, a body of people, that want to study the Word of God, rightfully dividing the Word of truth, knowing the knowledge, diving in, looking at that deep doctrine that's within Scripture and really chewing on that and getting to know that, a group of people that want to do that. And we have many faithful people in the community of believers across all different denominations that love to study doctrine. You're probably going to have a Bible college here in the next like 9 months or so that's going to be about a mile away from here. I don't know if you guys, the conference center, they're talking about the Bible college moving on up to the conference center. A ton of young people, young men who are going to be doing nothing, young men and women doing nothing but studying doctrine. And they're so passionate about doing it, and it's so good. But as many young men do, they get very filled up with the head knowledge, right? And we need that head knowledge. We need that head knowledge as believers. That's a starting point. That's the study of God's Word. But it has to come along with the other side. And that's the right expression of that knowledge that comes out of a loving, joy-filled community that seeks truth, because it is that we worship in spirit and we worship in truth. We worship in truth and in love. And it's not a pendulum like some people think of it. It's not truth over here and love over here. Truth and love are the same. God is love. God is the truth. Jesus is the light. He is the way. He is the truth. And so as believers, as we walk through our time in ministry, our lives of ministry, our lives of ministering to other people and sharing with them the light, we have to remember that it is the diligent knowledge of God, that we grow in the knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, but we also express the knowledge, the wisdom, and the understanding in the love, joy, and peace of who the Father truly is. And that's how we make him known. Amen? Amen. Very good. Cool. All right. Well, as we look at Acts chapter 2, and we look at Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 42, we're going to go to 47. We're at this point in Scripture where Christ has come down. Christ has made himself known. The glory of God was made known in the person of Jesus. His disciples had followed him. He died. He was resurrected. He made himself known to all the disciples. He has conquered death. He's there. He tells the disciples that, hey, there's a promise coming. You need to wait here. And when that promise comes, you will know what to do, and that's the promise of the Spirit. It's the day of Pentecost that takes place right before this passage. We know that a sound of a rushing wind comes in, fills the disciples with the knowledge. They start speaking in different tongues of known languages to many different people that have gathered around, and all of the people from many different groups and many different cultures and many different nations are in that moment coming into the knowledge of who God, the full truth, that God the Father is love, he is peace, he is joy, and that is made available to us freely. And all these people are coming together, and there's this spark. And this spark that starts a fire, and the rest of it we know as church history, and we are still very much a part of that fire today, and that fire has not gone out. But as we look through what happens, and after we see that Peter stands up and he starts to talk to everybody about the prophecies that are being fulfilled at that time. There's a capstone on the day of Pentecost. They lived happily ever after type moment, even though we know that none of the disciples lived happily ever after in the temporary world that we live in here. But starting in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, it says this. They did this. This is how the church continued on with that spark and with that fire. We should pay attention. Five things that we need to remember as a church. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the apostles' doctrine. Just like I brought up core doctrine study. We have many people who love doctrine. They love study. They love diving into Scripture. They love arguing, and they love debating. They love drawing little diagrams and talking about all the little different doctrines and making sure it's just right. And they kind of start to treat it like a mathematical equation. Does anybody know somebody like that? Is anybody like that? Yes, right? And that's okay. That's okay. That's truth. That's the defense of truth, which is good. But we need to be careful with that. we need to be careful that our understanding of God isn't just a mathematical equation that we have in our head, but it is the beautiful, harmonious story of salvation that lives in our heart. It's a beautiful story of God's Spirit being intertwined, connecting again with the soul of man that was lost at the very beginning of creation. And that is that. That's the truth being expressed, right? So they dedicated themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the apostles' doctrine, making sure that they were learning, that they were educating themselves. That was the first thing. The foundation, founded on truth, is what the early church did. The second thing. And to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. The second thing is that they broke bread and they committed themselves to prayer. And when you break bread, when you go to that time of communion and you're sitting there alone with you and Jesus or maybe a group of people, you're sitting there and you're remembering what he did for you, and you're remembering that his body was broken and that his blood washes you of your sins. That is an act of submission to Christ. That's what you're doing in communion. You're communing with him, but you are submitting in that moment. You are recognizing that you yourself need who he is because you are absent of him. You need him in your life. You need his Spirit. And it's through deep prayer that we allow that to grow. So one, they were founded on truth. Two, they submitted to Christ. Three, they committed to prayer. The next thing as we look through this little passage that the early church was founded on, it says this, that all believers were together and held everything in common. Now that's kind of a difficult thing for today, right? That's a little tough. Okay, to hold things in common with each other. You know, this church is absolutely beautiful. I think it's awesome what you guys have done with the inside of this church and got it painted. There's a lot of churches out there that when you go to the common house, which is the common house of the believers that we all commit together, and if you were to compare the church to the house of all to the houses of all of the believers that are out there, I guarantee 99% of the time, well, pretty close, that many of us take care of our own homes more than we take care of the home or the house that we all fellowship in together. And we like to individualize our faith and individualize our assets and the things that we have. And we're really timid on giving and we're really timid on contributing, right? Well, here there's a picture that's painted that there was such a movement, an understanding of the truth of God that all of the people, they held everything in common, that there wasn't title, position, passion that was overriding each other, is that when there were needs, which is the next point, when there were needs that needed to be met, they met the needs of the community. It said they sold property and possessions to give to everyone who had need, and every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. That is such a challenging statement, to hold things in community, to sell possessions and sell needs. And typically, we would hear it like this. We would hear the, well, this doesn't mean that you just have to go and you have to sell your house and you have to sell your car and you have to sell it all and you have to give to the church. But the passion, we have to be honest, historically, the passion that was there amongst these people is recorded as that is what they did. Now, that's hard for us, and that's a road that we have to always consider and we have to challenge ourselves with, is that we don't allow ourselves to get too steeped in our own stuff, and we make sure that we're giving and that we're giving to a community that's fulfilling the needs and meeting the needs of others that are deep in need. And then, this is one of the last parts here, is then they broke bread in their homes, they ate together with glad and sincere hearts. You know, when me and my family first walked through the door today and kind of came in, there was maybe like a smattering of about 10 or 15 different people in the room. It was kind of neat. Got to meet, you know, Dave up here and said hello. But then as we sat in that little bench over there, as I do, because I'm kind of a critical thinker, I like to look around and stare around like, what's going on? And as I started to look around in this community, the building filled up with noise. And it filled up with laughter and community and people sharing with each other and talking with each other. And there's just such a sense of a joy that is in this room. Do you believe that your church has sincere hearts? Are you joy-filled? Good, good. Because this is what the Lord does with communities that are truly dedicated to him. Those that are poured out, that are founded upon truth, those that commit themselves to the breaking of bread, to prayer, those that commit to the needs of the community, not maybe just in financial needs, because that's where our mind goes, but it's time, money, and energy. Some of us don't have money, but we have energy, right? And we can give energy. Some of us don't have energy, but we have lots of time on our hands, right? And we can give our time, right? And there's many different ways to give those needs. But people that give of whatever the resources is that God has blessed you in order to meet the needs of a community, when we do that, and then we do that with sincere hearts, praising God, and enjoying the favor of the community together, it ends with this point right here. Now, I'm not a numbers guy thinking, you know, numbers have to, a bigger church means a greater church. And in all honesty, there's a struggle when you go to larger churches. It becomes a little bit harder to connect with people. And there are many different systems that are set up to make sure that the essence of church isn't lost. But that is a struggle. That is a challenge. But the Lord does this. And I'll be clear, the Lord does this to a community. And it ends here. And the Lord added to their numbers daily to those who are being saved, right? What did the people have to do? The people had to be founded on truth. The people had to love one another. The people had to break bread, pray together, enjoy each other with sincere hearts, give of their community, meet the needs of those that are around them. And just by being the people of God, the doing aspect of the church being added to, the Lord brought the people in. And that's something we need to remember. You know, me, I grew up as a mountain kid up here, and I just absolutely love Mike's illustration this morning, where we're all one. There's many different groups. As I grew up up here, you know, many of the different communities on this mountain actually helped shape me and form me into who I am today. I remember going all the way back, probably some of my earliest memories. It was Calvary Chapel, Running Springs, and the pastors that were all up there, walking through that time, and it was just the building that was provided, right? It was the pizza, and it was the nachos, and it was the little things that, you know, the youth pastors did at that time that was just like those little seeds that got planted, right? And then you kind of grow from one group to another. And then after that, I remember later on finding Church of the Woods with Pastor Rod Akins over there, and I love Pastor Rod Akins, deep mentor of mine. A man that I've had coffee with, I've cried in his office with, I've had deep counseling moments with Pastor Rod. Rod and his entire family, I love them, right? And they were there with me through a season. Then there was back to that Community Baptist Church back at that time. Groups of friends, community, where friends bonded together, a whole bunch of just fun for those high school years. That's what that community kind of added. And then I don't know if anybody remembers the name of Gary Palmer, who used to be a pastor up here that was over at Twin Peaks Community Conference Center over here, and he would lead a youth group over there and connecting with them. And even down to Pastor Mike here, I went to the Christian school for a semester, one semester over the Christian school. And he actually gave me a ride a few times to school back and forth, right? In a mountain community of believers with different expressions and different faith, or different expressions, not different faith, but different expressions of their faith, is incredibly powerful for changing lives. For sometimes we only get a small glimpse of what our church is doing, right? And not a whole glimpse of what the whole body of God is doing. Well, as I look at that and I think about what is the encouragement just visiting for today, coming up from Huntington Beach, which by the way, down in Huntington, when I first got the job to go down to Huntington, a lot of people would say this. They're like, oh, you're going to suffer for the Lord down there, you know, kind of like tongue in cheek. And I will tell you, Huntington Beach has beautiful weather. You guys are all missing out. You need to move down there. No, Huntington Beach is a wonderful place to live. As far as the weather's great, there's incredible shopping facilities. There's a church, two on every single corner. Big buildings, lots of people, go, go, go. Disneyland's right down the street from everything, which basically the best thing ever. So that area is great, but I would tell you something. That what we see on the outside as what we see as glamour and what we see as good and what we see as relaxing and what we see as fun, there is a lot of struggles. There's a lot of internal struggles. There are a lot of things that good weather, we dream of 70 degree weather throughout the course of the year. That would be wonderful, wouldn't it? But sometimes we forget how much that snowstorm that causes us to slow down and sit in our house for 2 or 3 days causes us to help, you know, help with that family bonding in that community. And there's groups of people that don't have that, right? And so there are wonderful things about areas like that, right? But sorry, that's a tangent. But up here, you know, where I remember some of my memories, the communities of many of the churches, and I know that many of the people in here have been around at many of those different groups. It's the community. It's the community that is built upon the truth and the love of God that God sustains. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 through 6 says this, "I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling which you have been called, and in all humility and in gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit, the bond of peace. There is one body." Let's say one body. One body. Say it again. One body. One body. One body. Because there's one Spirit. One Spirit. "And just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all." We need to take confidence in that. And then he concludes with saying, we need to keep the unity of the faith, the unity of the faith, right? So that's my encouragement for you. When it comes to community, when it comes to Twin Peaks Community Church, which is what you guys are, and the joyous sounds that echoes in this wall, in these walls, make sure that when you leave this building today and you go out this week, don't allow the community just to remain in this about 70 by 40 foot, whatever this square footage of this building is. Don't allow it just to remain in here. Take the community, the laughter, the feeling, the fun, the energy, the sharing with one another, the bearing each other's burdens, right out those doors and into Twin Peaks and into Lake Arrowhead and into everywhere else, right? Because we know that the church is not the walls, it's not the carpet, it's not the pews, that we are the temple of God, that we are God's people. We are his temple in which his Spirit dwells, and it is through us that we make God known. Amen? That's all I got for you today. Hopefully you feel encouraged. Do you feel encouraged? Good. Go out and be a community to the community. All right, Mike. Thanks.